those hymns are just, to me, they move my heart as you consider just what we're singing about, how great of a God we serve, how great is His love, our dependency upon Him. We serve an awesome God, and it's our privilege that we get to worship Him. This morning, we're going to be in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. I'd like to read those just to begin with, and then we'll dig into the message here. The goal of this series is to encourage us in the truth of God's Word and challenge us to stand for biblical truth by the grace of God. It's to go back to the author and designer of the home and to really understand what he says about relationships. We all are involved in relationships, and we want to see what God says. And so we've considered the question, how is your influence? How is your influence? How is your influence, and what legacy will you leave with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, if the Lord gives you the privilege of going that route? What legacy will you leave with the people that you are surrounded by? What impact are you having on the relationships that God has blessed you with? 2 weeks ago, we began the series considering the foundation of the home. The foundation of a godly home is God Himself, and without Him, our efforts are merely in vain. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain, they labor in vain that build it, and except the Lord build, keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." So without Him, our efforts are frustrating. But we must learn to rely upon Him if there's any hope for the future generation. So the foundation is key to success in these areas. And we've looked at briefly the illustration that Christ gave about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. He listened to what Christ said and did what Christ said. The foolish man was one who listened but didn't do. God is telling us what we are to do. He's telling us how to be successful. He's telling us the means by which we can enjoy the relationships that God has given us and be influencing these relationships in a Christ-honoring way to impact them for Christ. He tells us how to do that. But He is the foundation. He is the key. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." But he goes on to say, "For without me, ye can do nothing." We don't want to do nothing. We want to do something. We want to be fruitful in the relationships that God has given us. And so we consider these truths that lay before us. Consider, if you will, John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. Jesus' words here. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." That's our context today. That's what we're going to look at, focus on today. Let's bow our heads in prayer, commit our hearts to Him for this message at this time. Heavenly Father, it is our privilege to have Your Holy Word, to open it and see what You say, to listen to what You're going to teach us. It is a privilege for those who have placed their faith and trust in You to have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us, to give us understanding, to help us understand these truths. So Lord, I pray today, Lord, if there would be anybody here that does not know You as Lord and Savior, Lord, may this be the day of their salvation, where they could enjoy the saving grace, the saving work of Your Son, and begin to enjoy the fruit of the indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives. Send them forth, Lord. Boldly proclaim Your truth to our hearts. Change us. We need to be changed. We need to love better. We need to love more consistently, more faithfully. Lord, help us to love more sacrificially. Teach us, Lord, your truths. Lord, please help each one of us to set aside the cares of the day and focus on you and what you are saying here. Please give me the words to say. Help me, Lord, to speak only your words. And Lord, may you impact our souls in such a way that we would walk out of here as different people, loving you more, being more devoted to you, to do what you call us to do. May we worship you in how we listen and how we receive your words and then how we do what you're calling us to do. Guide us now, we pray. We commit these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Last week we continued the series that we're in, A Firm Foundation, by looking at the key ingredient that is to be on full display in our home, in our marriages, families, our relationships in church and at work and everywhere in between. That key ingredient is love. We define love, as you see there on the front side of your outline. We define love this way. Biblically, this word for love is the Greek word agape. This kind of love is not emotional. It is the love of choice that is deliberate. It's self-sacrificing love that chooses to set aside one's own wants, seeking the best for others. We consider love and its effectiveness in our relationships. We must look at Christ and how He amazingly displayed love, as it's defined by His sacrifice. See, Christ sacrificed for us. He displayed His love for us in His choosing to love us. And therefore, He sacrificed Himself. I love the way Dr. Griffith defines this Greek word agape. He says it signifies the value placed on someone which determines the sacrifice you will make for them. The value that you place upon someone or something which determines the degree to which you will sacrifice for them. I think that is that unpacks this word agape in ways that it's hard to describe. It's a great definition. We're looking at two key areas of needed sacrifice in order for our homes and relationships to be ordered rightly, that is, ordered biblically. So what we're looking at here, this is part two of love displayed in sacrifice. So last week we started off by looking at Roman numeral 1, the sacrifice of my will. The sacrifice of my will. We looked at a supreme love for God. The first key area of sacrifice is the sacrifice of our will. Christ sets the example for us. He sets the bar very high. We see the sacrifice of Christ's will in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." We see Christ's heart-wrenching display of love as he sacrificed his will. Remember what his will was. Christ had been in fellowship with God the Father from eternity past. That fellowship was never broken. Because what breaks our fellowship with God? Sin. There was never sin that came between them. But yet, in order for Christ to go to the cross, He had to take our sin upon Himself, thus breaking the fellowship with the Father, because God the Father cannot look upon sin. So therefore, Jesus, He did not want to have broken fellowship with the Father, but He was willing to do what God said. He was willing to break fellowship as He took our sins upon Himself. He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. But yet, His will was to always be in fellowship with the Father, but that was contrary to the will of God. If He would have held on to His will and had His own way, He would never have died for us and our sins. What an amazing reality. And so the reality is Jesus willingly submitted His will, His way, to that of the Father. He sacrificed His will for us. He gave up what he wanted most because he loved the Father more. See that? He had such a supreme love for God that his own way was of lesser importance. That's vital in our relationships. Husbands and wives, that's vital in your relationship to love God supremely, that I love Him so much that my way doesn't matter. I'm willing to submit my way, surrender my will. I don't have to be right. I don't have to have my way. I want God's way. That comes through a supreme love for God that overshadows all other loves. We considered here as we went through, we looked at this passage with regards to Jesus with his lawyer coming to Jesus and saying, what is the greatest commandment? And in that, Jesus gives us, just pours out this supreme love. But before we got there, we looked at our condition. We have a supreme love for self. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we keep in mind that because I demanded my way, God had to put my sin upon my Savior. We move from our condition, that supreme love for self, to our calling. Our calling is that we are called to supremely love God. We are called to supremely love God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 is where the lawyer comes to Jesus and tempts him, saying, Master, what is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus responds to him in verses 37 through 40. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Jesus responds, his response defines for us what supreme love that we are to have for God. We look, number one, we are to love God exclusively with our whole heart. It's pinpointed love. He's the sole focus of our love. Look at Christ's example. Jesus said, and he that sent me is with me, but the Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. I have supreme, exclusive love for God. The supremacy of our love for God is the exclusiveness of it. We love Him exclusively, and nobody else gets the kind of love that we give to God. That's loving God with our whole heart. Then we see we are to love God wholeheartedly when it says, to love God with your soul. Your soul is the being. It encompasses everything. I put everything into my love for God. It's not just exclusive. It's wholehearted. We looked at the third aspect of this supreme love for God is that we are to love God dependently. Dependently love God with my mind. Our love for God must supersede our own mindset and dependence upon ourselves. We must be willing to submit our will to God's will. And Jesus said in John 5:30, He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. We must be dependent upon God in order to display this kind of love. It's part of the fruit of a life yielded to the Spirit. Total dependency upon God. Our supreme love should be exclusive. Nobody else enjoys that kind of love that we give to God. It should be wholehearted. I love Him with all that I am, my soul. It should be dependent. I don't depend upon myself. I depend upon Him. We display that supreme love for God in those three ways. We go back to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Again, Jesus says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus had such a supreme love for God that He was willing to sacrifice His will. And that's where we ended last week, looking at Christ's governing value. And I gave you that illustration. The governing value, what controls us? The governing value is what we need to sacrifice so that God becomes the one governing us, controlling us. Christ's governing value was His desire for unity and intimacy with the Father. It was very good. It was of great. It was a great governing value, wasn't it? Isn't it? I mean, we can honestly say that is an awesome governing value. That is an awesome area to be controlled by, desiring fellowship and unity with the Father. But at this time, in this instance, and this is a far exception to the rule, because it is always the best to desire to have unity with the Father. Always. Except right here with what Jesus did. Because if He would have allowed that to control Him, He would never have gone to the cross to fulfill the will of God. Our governing value is what keeps us from doing God's will. Our governing value hinders sacrifice. What is your governing value? Be willing to sacrifice your will so that you follow the will of God. When we have a supreme love for God, He will enable us to bow, yielding our will to His perfect will. His perfect will. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, Jesus has already stated to the lawyer, He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and mind. And thou shalt." And then He goes on to say, this is the first and great commandment. Then He goes on to say, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And that's where we come to today. The second is like unto it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." This is where we go, move from the sacrifice of my will to the sacrifice of myself. In order for me to love supremely, in order for me to love sacrificially, I need to sacrifice my will and I need to sacrifice myself. They overlap in many ways, but there is enough of a difference between them. The sacrifice of myself, as opposed to the sacrifice of my will, the sacrifice of my will shares for us, it displays for us a supreme love for God. The sacrifice of myself displays a sacrificial love for others. And that's what you see there, Roman numeral 2. The sacrifice of myself, it's a sacrificial love for others. Again, we see our condition. The condition is that I sacrificially have a love for who? What's our condition? I sacrificially have a love for self. I love me, and I'm willing to sacrifice for me. That's our condition. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. This is the marriage passage in that chapter. Paul is writing about the man. And he's saying, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it." The reality of us, none of us truly hate ourselves. Okay? Modern day psychology says the greatest problem with people is that they don't love themselves enough. It's a lie of the devil. The problems that we have, why we're depressed and why this and why that and why we're struggling so much and we would need a psychologist or psychiatrist, whichever one you would want to go to. I encourage you not to go to them. But the reality is, they're going to tell you you don't love you enough. But that's not true. The problem is that you love yourself too much. That's our condition. That's biblical truth. I want what I want. I want my way, and I want my flesh to be pleased. However you want to do that. naturally we take care of our own bodies. Now you can say, okay, well, you know, the way we eat, the lack of exercise, the different things. Bottom line is, we truly desire what's best for me, although it doesn't always come out as the best thing, right? We feed it, we bathe our body. We may not take care of it the best that we should, but we are always seeking to please me. We have a great love for me and for that which is we often sacrifice much for. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." These three areas of temptation all relate to our flesh, me. It all relates to me and how to please me. And so there we see our condition. There's much more that can be said about the flesh. But moving forward, we go from our condition to our calling once again. Our condition is that I have a sacrificial love for self. Our calling is that we would have a sacrificial love for others. That's unnatural. A sacrificial love for others. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. Jesus again, he says these words. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." He qualifies the way that we are to love others. How did Jesus love us? He loved us sacrificially. He loved us to the degree that He died. He gave His life literally. It's a great picture of what we are called to do, to give of ourselves, die to self in order to love others. It's a great picture. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." We see our calling. This is what we're called to. Christ specifically commands it. Paul commands it in Galatians chapter 5 there. And again in chapter 5 verse 16, Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Then we see Paul writing in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, he says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Our calling is to refuse to sacrifice ourself, our flesh. That's our calling. Is to sacrifice ourself in sacrificially loving others. Christ had a superior love for others more than He loved Himself. He had a supreme love for God that allowed Him that He was able to sacrifice His will to the will of the Father. And He had a supreme love for others, a sacrificial love for others, if you want to just make it the difference there. He supremely loved God and He sacrificially loved others. What does that bring us to? The whole right triangle? Illustration that we've used? Our vertical relationship. His vertical relationship with God was supreme love. His horizontal relationships was sacrificial love. All to the glory of God. That's the reality. That's what we see here. He was willing to sacrifice Himself so that others could live. Isn't that amazing a thing to think about? This is the greatest display of love. What does he say there in John 15, verse 13? "Greater love has no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends." That's the greatest kind of love. The supreme kind of love is sacrificially giving of yourself. That's what we're called to. Christ set the bar quite high. God isn't calling us necessarily to literally, physically die. that would be a far exception. That has taken place. But do you realize the difficulty of daily dying to self in the small areas of life to display your love? That's hard. That's unnatural. We need God's help to be able to do that. Because I love me too much. So this is the challenge that lays before us. 1 John 4:11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Since God loved us the way that He did, because He loved us to that degree, it should be out of a heart of gratefulness, out of our heart saying, Lord, wow, I see what You did. I want to love You. I want to sacrifice for You. I want to do whatever You want me to do. I want to show You that I love You. That's why it's just been phenomenal. Just reading through Isaiah 53 and you see the suffering Savior and all that He went through for me. He sacrificed for me. And as I read through John chapter 18 and the end of all four Gospels, you just read through those passages. I strongly encourage you to do that. Luke 22 and 23, Mark 14, Matthew 26. Read through those passages and consider what Christ went through for you and for me. How He sacrificed Himself. He was willing. He valued us to the degree that He was willing to give His life. That should cause us to look at these passages and say, Beloved, if God so loved us, ought not we to love one another? Shouldn't it be a question, should it? The fact that we still struggle to love others to the degree that God calls us to just shows how much we love me. I don't have a supreme love for God. I have a supreme love for me. God calls us something greater. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus goes on to say in verse 14, You are my friends if you do whatever I say. If you love me, keep my commandments, He says, doesn't He? This kind of love is loving others more than I love myself. It's having a superior love for others. Supreme love for God. And a superior love for others, more superior than myself. Dave Willis, he's a pastor and a marriage counselor. He wrote a book. He says, anytime we love someone, we will eventually be compelled to make a selfless sacrifice. You see that in your notes? Anytime that we love someone, agape kind of love someone, you will eventually be called to do what? Make a selfless sacrifice. And ultimately, when we truly love someone, our lifestyle will be characterized by selfless sacrifice for them. If we agape them. Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 7. Profound, profound passage. In John chapter 12, or John chapter 12, I believe it is, we looked at Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany is her supreme sacrifice of worship to God is displayed, I believe, in three of the Gospels. It's at the end of Jesus' ministry. And it's very similar to this display of worship, of sacrifice. But I clearly believe that this is earlier on in Jesus' ministry. This was a different woman. Okay? She's unnamed here. But in Luke chapter 7, we see this woman and her sacrificial love for Him. Notice what she was willing to do. Let's just consider this passage real quick here. Luke chapter 7, verse 47. Verse 47 is where we're going to get to. Verse 36 says, And one of the Pharisees desired Him, Jesus, that He would eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. We understand that to be she was a prostitute, or that she had a previous lifestyle of being a prostitute. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet and feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, he said that all with disdain in his own mind. And Jesus answered him, I love it. Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." Jesus goes on to say, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave the most. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gave me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Focus in on this next verse. Because this is it. This is it. Jesus goes on to say, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. Listen, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. What's he saying there? Jesus is illustrating to Simon the Pharisee that an understanding of what we have been forgiven of is the key to the degree to which we love. The woman understood that she had many sins that the Lord had forgiven her of. She saw the vileness of her life. She saw the wretchedness of her sin. She saw that she was unworthy of the love and grace of God, the forgiveness of God. She saw the depravity of her own soul. And because Christ forgave her of that sin, the magnitude of her sin, she poured out her love. That alabaster box of ointment was probably worth a year's salary. It was worth a supreme amount of money. That she was willing to sacrifice it for her Savior. Because He loves me so much, He forgave me of this, I can't help but just love Him in return. When we see the degree to which we have been forgiven, we will see our love for God just skyrocket. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, she loves me this much because she knows how much I've forgiven her of. She knows how undeserving she was of my forgiveness of her sin. She knows how unworthy she was of my mercy and my grace. And she, it just bows her in humility. And she can't help but love Him. What's our problem? I mean, think about it. What is our problem? Why don't we love God the way we should? Why don't we give Him supreme love? Why don't we sacrificially love others? Why? I dare say it's very simple. It's very simple. We don't realize the degree to which we've been forgiven. We don't realize how bad we truly were. We don't realize how wretched we truly are. That we are so undeserving of the grace of God. That He went to the cross because I sinned. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to His own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. One thing that the Lord has just burdened my heart with this week was reading through that Isaiah passage. You begin at Isaiah 52, verse 13, and you see it lead into talking about this servant. But then you come to these verses, verses 4 through 6, and I've got into the habit, I personalize it. And this is what I read. Surely He hath borne my griefs and carried my sorrows, yet I did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for my transgressions, He was bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement for my peace was upon Him, and with His stripes I am healed. Like a sheep I have gone astray, I have turned to my own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus Christ all my iniquity. And I don't even get it. I don't get the degree to which I've been forgiven. Do you? As Christians, we often consider ourselves to be deserving of forgiveness. I'm not that bad. If we weren't that bad, Jesus would not have had to die on that cross. But do you realize if every single one of you would have been perfect and never sinned, but I did, He still would have gone to the cross for me. That's why I personalized that passage. Because He went there because of my sin. You love God the degree to which you realize you've been forgiven. An awesome reality if we would wrap our minds around it. Consider quickly a few things here. This calling that we have, we are called to sacrificially love others. But with that great illustration on our mind, knowing what you've been forgiven of, learn more about what you've been forgiven of, and don't allow this. The goal is not to be depressed. Oh man, I'm just this terrible person. Whoa. And just woe is me. No, it's not that at all. It should bring us into a hallelujah chorus saying, this is absolutely amazing. And I can be sorrowful, just dreadfully sorrowful, knowing that my sin, it was because I sinned that Jesus went to the cross and suffered and died in agony and shame for me. But yet in sorrow, I realize that, but that sorrow turns into joy as He says, it is finished. It's completed, and He comes back to life and He conquers death. He conquered my sin. He paid my penalty in my place and broke that power so that I could have life that I never would have known otherwise. So in sorrow I weep over what my sin has brought upon my Savior, but in joy I rejoice because of what my Savior did for me in loving me to the degree that He would die for me. And that doesn't even scratch the surface of it. I pray that we would grasp this reality. That as we go through this Passion Week and we consider what Jesus was going through. The torment of our sin upon Himself, my sin upon Him. And realize He loved me so much that He would willingly go through that, sacrifice Himself for me. Wow! Is our God awesome? Is there a greater display of love than you can fathom? And we still don't understand. We still don't get it to the degree that we should. the challenge for is, let us wrap our minds around it, think on it, meditate upon it, let it move you to love others with such sacrifice. It doesn't matter. I don't matter. God matters. I want to do His will, and I'm going to sacrifice myself in the process. This love is displayed in helpfulness. What does this sacrificial love look like? Well, let's look at a couple things. It's displayed in helpfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, charity, that's love, suffers long and is kind. Charity, envy is not. To suffer long comes from the Greek word to long time to boil. We're willing to put up with an awful lot. We're so quick. We're often, our love for self makes us not helpful to anybody, doesn't it? We're so quick to be so unforgiving. We're so impatient at times. You know what? I've been loving you this all the things that I do for you, and you just can't get it right. That's it. I'm done. No more. I mean, seriously, no more for you. I mean, I've given it myself. We're not willing to suffer long for people. Oh, they keep messing up. They keep doing this. They keep doing that. The kids, come on! Grow up! I said, we're trying, Dad. It takes time. It's not overnight. We're too often impatient, and when we're impatient, we're not helping anybody. We fly off the handle. We're not willing to suffer long, to bear the burden and love someone through their faults. Love your spouse through their faults. Love your children through their faults. Love them. Love them. Love them. Sacrifice yourself. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It's also displayed in humility. Our sacrificial love is displayed in humility. You can continue in that verse, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity envies not. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It envies not. It has no ill will towards others. I can't believe you got the raise. I can't believe you got this. I can't believe you were blessed by that. When do I get blessed? It's no ill will towards others. You rejoice with those who rejoice. Be happy. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not boastful. Look at me, how great I am! Bow! Please! Hurry up! It doesn't do that. It's humility. There's humility. It's not puffed up with pride. It's not inflated. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Self-sacrificing love desires what is best for others. Even if that being what is best means that it takes away from me. You realize that? See, the way we look at life is, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? If I help you out, what do I get in return? Right? Such selfishness. Loving humility, sacrificial love, is willing to serve others and not be concerned for what I get out of it. I don't need to get anything out of it. I don't need a reward. I don't need glory. My supreme love for God, I'm going to obey Him and sacrificially love others and serve them, only desiring that God gets the glory. That's where it's at. If that enters into our marriages, brothers and sisters, if that enters into our families and becomes the mainstay, if that comes into this church and becomes the vibrant quality of this church, if that enters into your relationships at work and becomes the vibrant quality of your relationships, you will turn the world upside down. It will be said just like the disciples, the apostles in Acts. They turn the world upside down. God will use us in such an awesome way to impact this community for Christ and every community that you are associated with. They will see Jesus in you. They will give God much glory. You will see souls saved because of what God's doing in and through you, because we're bowing our knee in supreme love for God as we sacrifice for others. Humility. Our love, sacrificial love, is displayed in helpfulness and humility. It's also displayed in holiness. 1 Corinthians 13:5 doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity, love, does not behave itself unseemly, rudely. It seeks not her own way. It's not easily provoked. It's being offended, taking things personally. It thinks no evil. Doesn't desire retribution. You're going to get yours. That's not love. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Love is gracious. To be unseemly is to be ungracious. Love is gracious. Love is displayed in sacrifice. Sacrificing me. What society says you deserve, sacrificial love is displayed in sacrificing my rights. What about this? What do we do many times as we go through life? Forgiveness is key. It's huge when it comes to our relationships. Isn't it? When it comes to my rights, you said something to hurt me. I demand that you come crawling seeking my forgiveness. It is my right that you repent. Right? That's the natural world. That's oftentimes us Christians. I deserve this. I deserve for them to come to me. I'm not going to them. I deserve. It's my right. See, sacrificial love is being willing to give up your rights and not demand your rights. And that is hard. That is gut-wrenching hard at times. But there's great humility when we move away from what we deserve. When we properly analyze what we truly deserve, don't we? What do you deserve? Not what does society say you deserve. Not what does your flesh say you deserve. But what do you and I deserve? Very simply. I deserve the cross that my Savior took from me. I deserve the hell that He endured for me. And what do we know that the greatest hell that Jesus endured was the separation from His Father as He took our sin upon Himself. He endured the hell that I deserved. Let's learn to properly understand what we truly deserve. Because the one who realizes how much they've been forgiven of is the one who will love supremely. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank You for this time. The challenge that lays before us, Lord, is that some of these things are very hard to hear. These are challenging truths. These are truths that hit us right down at the core of who we are. We need these, Lord. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here this morning. I thank you for their patience. I thank you for their attentiveness. And I ask, Lord, that you would touch each heart in a very special way. Lord, help us to biblically understand what we deserve. Help us to see our Savior and all that He went through because of our sin, as He loved us to the degree that He was willing to pay with His life for us. Lord, help us to see our Savior in such a real way that it would move us to love sacrificially. Lord, help us to not be discouraged by this truth, but encourage us with the words that it is finished. Payment has been made in full. I need do nothing but simply believe and receive that gift that was given for me. And may we rejoice in what your Son accomplished on the cross. Lord, may we be changed. May we live for you with such supreme love and devotion that we would love you despite the costs, that we would love you willing to sacrifice our will. I don't need to have my way as long as you have your way. That I don't need to be pleased as long as you're pleased, Lord. That I'd be willing to love others with such sacrifice that it would be a clear and evident display of your Son. Help us this week, Lord, to meditate upon you, to see what you have done, and love you, and love you, love you more. Thank you for all you have done. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.